880. Fishbowl Radio Network is one of the largest streaming platforms in the world. And now, your podcast can be heard all over the world by the listening audience that Fishbowl Radio Network has amassed over the last 11 years. With over 6 million impressions a month and growing, this is a platform that all podcasters should be on to create greater visibility for their podcast. Jump in today and be a part of the Fishbowl family, streaming great live internet radio shows and podcasts 24/7. 817-633-4880. Jump in.
Bellezza Cantu is an institute with more than 20 years of experience in the beauty industry. And as the distributor of a European line of products, we'll give you the tools to succeed in your profession. We provide esthetician courses where you'll learn about equipment, chemistry, and selection of ingredients for skincare. We wish to empower our students by giving them independence and professional growth. We'll take it upon ourselves to develop your knowledge to make you a specialist in skincare. Come visit us at 107 West Main Street in Grand Prairie, Texas. For more information, you can reach us at 214-475-8739. That's 214-475-8739. Bellezza Cantu.
Hi, this is Diane Marion Eunice, and I am a licensed marriage and family therapist. For the past 9 years, I have worked with over 300 couples in the areas of sexual health, communication, and conflict resolution. If you are interested in rebuilding connection and intimacy with your partner, please contact me today. I can be reached at 682-201-8175, or you can email me at diane@letstalkrelationships.org, or visit my website at www.letstalkrelationships.org. And remember, you can't heal if you refuse to deal.
Call it how it is. Hedges. Pros and swags. On every bitty. Young.
Percocet. Miley Percocet. Percocet. Miley Percocet. Percocet. Represent. Gotta represent.
Hey, what's up? What's up? What's up, party people? Y'all know what time it is.
What?
It's your guy. It's that guy, Joe Bamadi. What's up,
guys? I'm not your guy. I'm not your buddy. I'm not your pal.
Joe Bamadi. Joined by my brother, my co-host, partner in crime. Crime, yes. Crime, go crime. Joe Bamadi, how you doing, Jordan?
Feeling good. Feeling great. Feeling good. How are you?
Pretty good, sir. Pretty good. And you know, when we get together, we form that dynamic duo known as the Giraffe Experts. Dap it up.
Yeah.
Beom, 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 beom. Yeah. Now you know Giraffe Experts, man. This started as an animal podcast, man. Started as a giraffe-specific podcast. I promise this.
But I love animals, dog.
We love them. But there's
I love
a problem,
dogs,
man.
The animals.
There was a problem. Nobody was listening, man.
Yeah.
So we had to switch the gears up, man. Had to switch the styles up, but every week we still like to hit you with a giraffe fact. Jordan, may I please hit them with the giraffe fact?
Go ahead.
Okay. Did you know, you may have seen a baby giraffe being carried on the back of their mothers, but for the first few months after birth, the mother actually holds the baby giraffe in her chest like this. Yes.
Like this?
Yes. Holds the giraffe in the chest.
People listening, Joe, they can't see that.
We're
talking about if you're on the Spotify.
Presses against the chest,
and they
carry it around like that.
That's
walking
right.
around on their two hind
yeah,
legs.
That.
Like a little prancing giraffe.
All right, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. All right, yeah. There goes Job again. With Wikipedia coming through.
Every week. Never lets me down.
Man, it's like, who cares about Encyclopedia Britannica? You know what I'm saying? Wikipedia's where it's at.
I am batting 1,000 with these giraffes.
I know.
Crazy. It's
all right, Job. Let's go ahead and jump to that segment where me and you catch up on our programming.
Yeah, man.
You know, it was a busy week last week. You know, I had to leave early last week to go watch the Mavericks game. Dirk got the jersey retired.
Yeah.
So I've been watching a lot of Mavericks since then. I kind of got the fever.
Yeah.
Because they're kind of looking hot right now. They beat the very hot Chicago Bulls. We've been watching a little bit of that. But I forgot that Righteous Gemstones came back this weekend.
Season
and I don't
two?
Know if you're familiar with Righteous Gemstones. Have you watched any of it?
I worked at your place of employment for a short period of time.
Oh,
so
yes.
I was kind of
yes.
indoctrinated a little bit. Yeah. I probably watched first four or five episodes of the first season.
Uh-huh.
Although it's not for me specifically, you know what I'm saying? I do appreciate it. It's funny, but it's just not a thing that's going to be one of my top things.
Yeah. Right on. Mm. Now, and you know, for anybody who's not familiar with Righteous Gemstones, it's pretty much got an all-star cast with John Goodman starring as as the patriarch, father of a televangelist family.
Yeah.
And Danny McBride is his eldest son, who is typical Danny McBride.
That's why
the person that you love to hate.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I know that that's probably why you can't get behind Righteous Gemstones. I know you have a problem rooting for assholes.
No, I like Danny McBride.
Okay. I thought that you like him more as a side guy and not the guy.
No, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
My bad. All right, but I do think that Edie Patterson as Judy steals the show, and the more you watch it, if you were to go back and watch season one, she has some very, very, like, classic moments that will be remembered a long time as far as I'm concerned.
How many episodes are they into season two?
They had two episodes premiered on Sunday night. They had an hour long, and then they had a 30-minute one, so they're already two episodes into season two.
Okay.
Yeah, but this season, Jason Schwartzman is in this season.
Oh, that's
so I don't know if you're a Jason Schwartzman fan. You know, hit or miss.
Are you a Wes Anderson fan?
I don't hate him. But Jason Schwartzman, I liked him in, what was it, I Heart Huckabees back in the day? And, did he have Bored to Death? Wasn't that him, Ted Danson,
Ted
Zach Galifianakis?
No, yeah, I like
a very underrated show.
Yeah, I liked Bored to Death. That's a good show.
So it's
that's
like, so bringing back some HBO alumni.
Yeah.
So, but Bored to Death is also an underrated show. So if y'all haven't seen that, go see Bored to Death. But Righteous Gemstones is back. Don't want to give anything away too much, but it gets pretty crazy in how the lives, you know, the exaggerated lives of a televangelist family. So, I like it. I enjoy it. So if you're a fan of any of these actors, Adam Devine from Workaholics fame is also in it. If you're a fan of any of those guys, I would go and check that show out.
If you like a lot of that improvised, raunchy type of humor.
I honestly think that he's probably the weakest member of the entire.
Really?
Yeah. And I think that as it moves further along, you kind of see it. Because even there's other side characters like Judy's husband or fiance. He's a pushover, but he's pretty funny.
Yeah.
And even Adam's buddy, I think his name is Keith or Keith.
Okay.
His long hair, death metal little friend. There's a lot of interesting characters in the show. But if you haven't seen it, check it out.
For sure.
Yeah. We gonna talk some sports now, Joe?
Let's get into some sports, man.
All right, Joe. All right.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and do that. I guess. All right. So takeaways from this weekend, Joe. What's really good?
Like I said, Matthew Stafford threw a game losing interception to the 49ers. Yeah. I'm like, what's up with that?
Ooh,
I'm like, is he the weakest NFC quarterback going into these playoffs?
I think as far as NFC quarterbacks go, you're going to have to roll with whoever the least experienced guy is.
Yeah.
And I think he's the losingest guy.
But it's negative. He has negative
but
experience.
But I just think that for
he's less experienced than
I would
Kyler.
Just think that like Jalen Hurts going into Tampa Bay with the defending Super Bowl champs, he's not expected to, like, you know, it's like they shouldn't even play this game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which makes probably that the best bet this weekend.
Yeah,
you know
it'd be a shame.
It's a beat up Tampa Bay team.
Yeah,
it'd
be a shame if the Bucs lost to the Eagles.
Yeah, but I think that maybe after Jalen Hurts, then it's like to me him and Garoppolo. I would
Garoppolo
say
just beat him.
That's what I was gonna say. He's gonna say, didn't the Niners just sweep them?
I'm like, yeah.
And I'm like, and I think Trey
recency
Lance would have swept them too. Like, you know. And I just you know me, I'm a fan of Matthew Stafford's arm.
Yeah.
Like we all are.
Yeah.
But he just all his arm, he ain't never getting done, man. He ain't never got done.
Is he really an upgrade over Goff?
He's just a strong arm version of the same thing.
And I'm like, Goff showed me something in Detroit, man. There was some life in that team.
Goff, I always felt like Goff had heart.
You saw that in Detroit,
You saw it at Berkeley. You saw it in Detroit.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like Matt Stafford got it, but he don't got
physically
it.
He's everything you want. Yeah,
he's what you want, because ever since he was 15 years old, anybody who saw him throw football said he's gonna be the number one pick.
Yeah.
It's like, and then we're like, I told you.
That grown
so now
man
it's all about everybody has to be right. Yeah. Everybody has to be right about Matt Stafford, because he was the can't miss kid that everybody knew at age 15.
So everybody's doing their best to make sure he doesn't
miss. But guess what? That kid Kyler, he's the realest who ever came out the state. So you're gonna have to go up against that man again. All
right. Like to me right now, if I'm the Detroit GM, there's no way I'm not kind of building around Goff for the short term. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
he is not our liability over here. I'm like, we can do something.
So now, what? I guess we'll talk. Like, do you think that if they were able to get out of the first round, that they can do anything? Or it's just like if Stafford plays perfect, then they can win the Super Bowl?
Hey, don't play perfect. Don't throw. Let's stop with the interceptions. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I hope this is like a pitcher in spring training to where I'm just working on stuff. Yeah. And that, it's like, because I know I'm going to playoffs, so now it's like, no, I'm for real.
Can we transition to the Cowboys?
Or yeah, let's go ahead and talk Cowboys.
Okay, I want to compare Stafford and Dak real quick. So who do you more confident? It's because you're not highly confident with the Cowboys. Who do you think is going to perform better in this first round in playoffs quarterback-wise?
Dak. That's not even a question. I'm not a guy who puts – to me, I'm not a Matt I'm a fan of the arm talent like everybody else.
Yeah.
I could wreck with him in Madden.
Yeah.
I go way harder with him in Madden than he goes in real life. But the thing is like, because in a video game they'd let him make these certain passes that they wouldn't let Dak make, you know.
Yeah.
But in real life, nah, man, give me Dak. Dak's proven it time and time again, and it's just like, what is this, his second career playoff game? Matt Stafford?
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, man. Yeah. It's like, how you been in this league
and
this
Dak's
long?
Played three.
It's like, yeah, man. It's like, nah. Nah, because it's like, to me, it's like you don't have enough postseason experience to be
a
true
good thrower. Quarterback should make more of a difference than you made when you were playing in Detroit. That's how.
Speaking of the Cowboys, did Dak and the Cowboys show you anything against the Eagles that makes you think differently than you thought the week before? I know you had faith in them doing what they were going to do, did on Sunday. But I would, too, if I knew that the Eagles weren't going to play nobody.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, to me, it's like y'all just beat the hell up on an eighth grader. Yeah. And y'all go to the high school.
Biggest takeaway for me was showing a commitment to the run game. At least I have a confidence they're going to come out in this first round against the Niners and try to run the ball at least. Mm-hmm. So, that's the biggest positive that I take away from it.
Yeah.
But, honestly, to me, also, Dak – I feel like he's played three really good games in a row. The Cardinals game, even if you break it down, he threw three touchdown passes. Kyler threw two.
He played a bad first half.
He played a bad first half, but no running game, and your coach was killing you that game. The Cardinals game, our coach was kind of killing us with the time.
Well, to me, I would like for Dak to – to me, I don't think that you need your offensive coordinator or your coach's permission to put somebody in motion.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? If you see the blitz coming like that or they're faking blitz like that, then I think you as a quarterback, it's on you to where you can just put somebody in motion, send them one way, bring them back to where you can read that coverage or at least keep them honest. So, to me, I think that Dak is a veteran enough to where it's not – I can't just throw it all on the coaches. Yeah.
Ideally, I hope that's the situation. He's been in the league 6 years now. He should have that kind of authority and control over the offense. I just don't know specifically what the situation is.
Everybody's allowed to flip a play. Yeah. Everybody's allowed to flip a play. Everybody's allowed to put somebody in motion. Now, about audibling, that's a little bit different. But I'm pretty – I don't see any coach not allowing you to put a man in motion. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't see a coach not letting you flip a play just to keep the defense honest. All right. Now, let's talk about that Chargers game. Did you watch that?
I didn't watch it while live. I know what happened after the fact.
But you see what had happened, though, right? All right, so the Chargers outlasting them. Getting outlasted by the Raiders, right? Correct? The Raiders ended up coming out on top. Who would have thought? You know, everybody, Justin Herbert, you know, he was supposed to be the next great one. This was supposed to be his year. What is it, Brandon Staley? Is that his name?
Yeah, Staley.
Staley's supposed to be the next McVay.
But like, together, you know, combined.
Whack-ness.
Yeah, cannot make the playoffs. Congratulations to Jalen Hurts again for making the playoffs.
Yeah, man, I do it. Because to me, like, it's we'll talk a little bit more about Jalen Hurts whenever we talk about their playoff preview. But it's like – If it was a guy who was drafted in the first round, everybody would talk about how he's arrived.
Yeah.
But since it's a second round pick,
He still hasn't secured a starting job in the NFL yet. No. He still hasn't secured a starting job.
To me,
in the NFL.
Like, and even like, come on, man, we saw a difference between him and Gardner Minshew the other day, You know, whenever they had, like, I just think that there'd be more noise behind him if he just went in the top
30. He's a better passer than Lamar Jackson than was at this point in his career. I'm like, there's stuff to
better
build
passer.
Around.
You don't think he has a better actual arm?
No,
you just think he's a better passer.
Yeah,
of a finished product at the quarterback position. As far as he can, he's going to make better decisions on a consistent basis than Lamar Jackson.
Honestly, I look at him as an accurate quarterback. Maybe he's not reading defenses at the level of a seasoned quarterback. But
the accuracy of a Dak.
But I'm just a fan, and he's shown enough where they should be committed to building around him, I think, at least in the short term.
All right. Yeah. Now, as far as the Raiders go, now, Rich Bisaccia took over a crazy situation over here as far as what Gruden getting fired, the Henry Ruggs situation, and, you know, to the point to where we don't even think about the Damon Arnett situation as anything because there was other stuff that went on. But – Do you think that, isn't it crazy that he hasn't been named the head coach yet? Or is it just something that's just going to have to play itself out till the season?
Well, don't you think it's a little bit the stigma of a special teams? Because without doubt, if he was an offensive or defensive coordinator, that'd be his job already, right?
Yeah, I do.
I think it's a little bit of that stigma. I'm like, were you just going to perpetually be a special teams coach? Did you luck into the situation? Would this have been the natural course? I think those are things that you consider.
But at the same time, you know, John Harbaugh is a special teams coach.
Yeah.
And he's one of the most respected coaches in football. Yeah. And I just think that now, you think because of his name?
Yeah, because of his name.
Because his dad was a college football coach.
Yeah,
his brother's Jim
trajectory.
Harbaugh.
Yeah.
He was already
there. Somebody was going to give him a shot at being a head coach at some point in time.
But, you know.
I think Bisaccia has definitely earned it. And like I said, if it's any offense coordinator, any defensive coordinator did what he did, by now they would have already been named.
Now, do you think, if they were to lose that game, that overtime game, do you think he would have been a casualty on Black Monday?
Probably. I think it's just, it's optics. Like it's kind of optics to me. Yeah. I'm like,
You think if they didn't win, you think him winning the game is what won him the job? If he didn't win the game, then it ain't his job?
Because Bisaccia is more viewed as like a lifer, right? A lifer and special teams coach.
I think you disrespect special teams coach.
No, it's not even what I think. I think I'm trying to consider general perception.
That's what
the stigma, the general perception of a coach that is kind of been kind of isolated.
It's how come you haven't already been here if this is what you...
Yeah, it seems like you've already been pigeonholed into being
a
lifeless
special
teams coach.
If you were going to be a head coach, you would have already been a head coach.
Yeah. And that, like I said, I'm all about... You've already shown what you can do. Give him another chance. But do franchises think in that short term, like, we can just waste a season with a guy that maybe would not be the ideal candidate for the long term?
But to me, though, I would love for my head coach to be the special teams coach. I think it would make the most sense.
Bro, I'm the most underdog guy there is.
I know. You love a good story.
Yeah, I love a good story.
But, you know, Bisaccia, he's been a quarterback coach. He's been a running backs coach. So he's coached other positions, but it's just he's always been a special teams guy.
Yeah.
Always been a special teams guy. But isn't that Anthony Lynn? Wasn't he a special teams guy? But he's an NFL running back, so nobody looked at it that way. But where is he at now when they try to make him offensive coordinator? It don't work.
It never works. Right?
It never works. He was a running back that was really more of a special teams player. Now he going to talk about running play. Yeah. Now, is that what it was? I don't know. My head's hurting. All I know is that man can't call
a
play.
As a pro, he was like a special teams ace, right?
Yeah. Texas Tech represent.
Represent.
All right, Joe. All right, on to the next one.
All right.
So, let's go ahead and talk about this Jaguars-Colts game. Is everybody fired? What are you doing if you're the owner?
First question, who let Carson Wentz into my building?
I was like, man.
Somehow you brought the stench of losing.
A way to snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory, right?
We've been doing the show all season long. How many times?
You try to have his back.
I just cemented in my mind that the Colts were going to make the playoffs.
I think it was after they blew out the Bills, it was understood that the Colts were going to make the playoffs.
And now we find ourselves here, and they're not in. And I'm like, Carson Wentz, you're not a difference maker, man.
Rich Bisaccia, that game decided his fate. Should this game decide Carson Wentz's fate?
It colors everybody's opinion of him. If you're a first round quarterback, you're the top two pick.
Yeah, you're the first round pick who's going to keep us drafting second round quarterbacks to make sure that you ain't ever safe.
Yeah.
And if you roll your ankle, guess what? You're on to the next spot again.
I'm like, that was a playoff game, bro, against the worst team in the NFL. You just lost to the first round of the playoffs against the worst team in the NFL. Like, that's acceptable when you're a rookie and you're the number 2 overall pick. After that,
And, you know, it's ball security again. What? Because I know he lost a fumble and he threw an interception.
It's the same thing from last year. It's like Carson Wentz, you know what I decided last year I saw from Carson Wentz? He looked like the most uncoachable quarterback that I'd ever seen. Uh-huh. It seemed like his coaches were trying to rein in the way he plays. He's like, no, I got this. I know what I'm doing. I'm carrying us
on. So you thought it was more of a rebellious?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But now it's like, no, that's just you.
But then you saw he played very restrained the season, and then against the Jaguars, he needed to step up and be a playmaker, and then he started turning the ball over a little bit. So I'm like, that's kind of cemented in my mind who he is then right now. I don't know that he
He'll never be as accurate as he was initially when he came in the league, it looks like. Now, 27 touchdowns, 7 picks? That looks great.
Yeah.
But that 62.4 in a pass-friendly NFL today, that's really not getting it done. And I just think that his picks are key interceptions. Yeah. Like, you know, they're game breaking, yeah, like yeah. game losing, like, you know. But he got some staff for them. How he gets
another job, right?
That's like, but he gonna get jobs forever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Like, I expect them to bring him back.
But yeah. at the same time, he ain't safe to where it's like, no. like. I don't know. I think a guy who's gonna, can't wait to see here in the next couple of weeks at the Senior Bowl. I can't wait to see Carson Strong. Yeah, I want to see Carson Strong. I want to see how he moves. Because to me, if he moves well enough, he's the number one quarterback.
Yeah, as far
may the most 6'4" win. May the most 6'4" guy win, right?
Yeah.
And I just think that, and even before the season, every scout had him higher than Kenny Pickett.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like so it ain't nothing. Me, it's nothing for him to jump Kenny.
Sam Howell gets my fumble the bag award.
Yeah,
I like.
Well, and you know, and the thing is, everybody's gonna talk about it when it happens. But Sam Howell, he's got smaller than 9-inch hands, man. Yeah.
And I think Pickett's the same thing. Small hands.
Yeah,
that's why.
You know, Pickett.
I love Pickett though.
I'm not. Don't take this as a hater thing. It's okay, just he's just kind of like a bulkier Mark Bulger. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like there's something about. I ain't say all that. Man ain't swole. Like I said, nah, but you know.
Yeah.
But I think that there's something about him. He has some confidence. He's got that leadership. Like, you know what I'm saying? You kind of see it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To where it's like, I don't know what it is, but he has it more than a lot of these guys. Because even with Baker, even when he had kind of it, it's like you kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Yeah.
Baker played at OU where he had a lot more talent than Pickett had playing over at Pittsburgh.
Oh, Jordan Addison, though.
Well, that's the guy that you're throwing to who could play at OU.
Yeah. Hey, you know, ain't nothing for Pitt to have a great wide receiver. Yeah, that's what they do.
That's right.
Shout out to Larry Fitz. Shout out to Antonio Bryant. Shout out to Tyler Boyd. But I just think that what happened – and like with Jacksonville, that is unacceptable, man. And somebody has to get fired. Somebody's got to get fired.
Head must roll.
I'm just saying, somebody got to go.
Like, if you're legit, then I need to name some names. Who's got to go?
I don't know, man.
It can't be the GM.
Because it's like, that's y'all, man.
I built this O-line and brought you Jonathan Taylor. It ain't me. We know it ain't me.
And, you know, Eberflus is their defensive coordinator still? Is that who it is?
I can't fire him because
he's like, he got rep.
That's just Carson Wentz. That's just Carson Wentz.
Yeah, that's just Carson Wentz. Just bring in some competition for Carson Wentz to where he ain't looking at it. Ain't no way Sam Ellinger getting out here.
Or Jacob Eason.
Yeah. Those are two of the worst college quarterbacks I've ever seen. These are guys that Jacob Eason, I wanted him benched for Jake Fromm before I even saw Jake Fromm play.
It's like y'all are deficient.
Remember that
when
me and you caught? I was on the phone with you. I'm like, what's up with this Jake Fromm dude?
I'm like,
he gonna beat out Eason? It's like he an ankle roll away from not having that job, and then I swear he got hurt and it was over.
Then
Georgia went on that run.
Yeah,
you know, and it's just because to me, it don't take much to see if you got it or you don't.
Eason has the arm talent. He just is not really a quarterback, honestly. And then Ellinger just doesn't have –
He doesn't have the arm talent. Yeah. He doesn't have the great decision-making skill. Yeah. But he's a leader. And if he was faster, he'd be a fullback. Or you try and make him Tim Tebow. But he is not that type of athlete.
Yeah.
You know, he's a try-hard.
Yeah.
All right, well, I guess shout out to Dak Prescott and Ryan Tannehill, players of the week this past week. Okay. But Joe, we gonna let's go ahead and talk about some NFL awards this year because they're gonna announce all of these awards before the Pro Bowl.
Is that when they normally do it, the NFL honors? Yeah.
So let's go ahead and jump ahead of it. And who do you got since the season ended, while it's fresh on our brain? Who is your coach of the year?
I'm gonna go with LaFleur just because he hasn't won it yet, and it's really more of a what he's done the last three seasons. Honestly, we see what he's done when he replaced McCarthy and how much more production he's been able to get out of Aaron Rodgers. So this is for me, it's LaFleur, but it's for three seasons. It's not just for this season.
I'm gonna have to give it to Vrabel.
Okay,
just because once Derrick Henry went out, it was over.
All right, so both of us,
because once Henry went out. This was Indianapolis' division.
Yeah.
And to me, that's another reason why I'm mad where somebody got to get fired.
And also, Tannehill didn't have a great year. No, he was kind of a liability at some point.
He was.
You had to overcome your quarterback and your running back. And here's the thing,
you have the not knowing if you're going to have Julio Jones or A.J. Brown out there and Derrick Henry. Like, those are a lot of guys to rely on.
Yeah.
And you can say what you want about Ryan Tannehill, but to not know who you're going to have out there week to week as far as weapons go and to still hold on and maintain the way way the running game stayed consistent without Henry. Yeah. It's like whether it was Foreman or whether it was Hilliard, was it?
Oh, good.
Yeah, I want to say it was Hilliard. But I just think that and even using Jeremy McNichols in certain situations, because because going into the season, number two running back was supposed to be Darrington Evans, and he's never really done anything. Mm. So I just think that for them to do it with defense and pretty much just a rotating door on offense, and just for him to be able to just run through with it, I'm like, if you lose the league's MVP. Yeah. And you still maintain and win your division? I'm like, I got to give it to Vrabel.
Seed in your conference.
It's number one seed. They're the number one seed.
Well, to me, it was in my mind between Vrabel and LaFleur because both of them are number one seed.
Right.
But, yeah, honestly, like I said, I'm not just giving LaFleur for this season.
Right.
Honestly, that's not how this award works for the people who are voting for it either.
And to me, it's like, here's the thing. It's like, I can't give you Coach of the Year if you have the MVP. I'm one of those guys.
Somebody's carrying somebody.
Yeah, exactly. I'm one of those guys. Yeah. It's like, you've made Aaron Rodgers better because now he does some pre-snap motion and all that stuff, and you've made him comfortable with that to where it's like now you can do more with Devontae Adams and stuff. But if he's MVP, you can't be Coach of the Year, all right? Yeah, you can't. It don't work that way.
He is going to be MVP, so ergo.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I think some haters might have something to say about that. Yeah. All right, but comeback player of the year. You know, who's your guy, Joe?
I think Dak's going to win it. Like I said, I'm not mad at all if they give it to Joe Burrow. Honestly, it's comeback player of the year. I don't care at all. I don't care at all. I'm just predicting, right?
Okay.
So I predict Dak Prescott's going to win it.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. Now, I think that with Dak's – I think the last game of the season – probably got him.
It made that stat line pretty.
It made the stat line pretty.
And it actually gave him more touchdowns than Burrow.
Yeah, and to me, it's like once you statistically had a better season than Burrow, then it was your award. Yeah. And to me, the only guy you could argue now, I think that Debo deserves some conversation. I think that if you're a San Francisco,
and
Bay Area media.
Of that offense.
Yeah, it's like the way that they've been able to use him. What, didn't he set the record for most rushing yards for a wide receiver? Most rushing touchdowns for a wide receiver.
Yeah,
I'm not necessarily sure
about
the yard.
Maybe he's the skill position player who would be more of a loss to their team than their quarterback.
Because he got hurt last year, and they and you saw how they had to force feed
Ayuk.
Ayuk was great last year, but then you saw how much more important Debo is than Ayuk to where they don't even need Ayuk.
Yeah.
It's like, honestly, next year, Juwan Jennings might be starting over Ayuk. You know what I'm saying?
They were punishing Ayuk because he probably doesn't have a great work ethic. That's what it seemed like.
Because he's a natural, and he don't like this. Yeah. He's like, nah, man, it's like – because I know you should have ran a 4.4 something.
Yeah.
Joe Pro Day, I didn't seen you run
like
before.
To me, honestly, with Ayuk, I feel like it's not that he wasn't practicing well. It's like, oh, you not working hard, but you're coming here wrecking in practice. I hate that. Yeah. Get out of here.
It's like you're not the guy who works. Like, you start working out like a few weeks before we all meet up. And it's like, that's why you're getting these cramps. All right. Well, now as far as Rookie of the Year, Jamar.
Yeah,
he ran away with it, right?
Yeah, I'll take it. I'm like, you, it was a race, and you snuck it in at the end, and you beat Mac Jones out. Yeah,
and to me, also, like, same with Belichick. If Mac Jones and Belichick were able to win the AFC East, then I think that Belichick is probably getting Coach of the Year because he's doing it with the rookie quarterback.
I was thinking 10 wins, like Belichick, I'm like 10 wins, not Coach of the Year. 11 wins, maybe.
But, you know, but the way that Buffalo ended up holding on to that division, able to take to steal that, I think that that's the reason why you got to give it to Jamar.
Yeah.
And, you know, and just what Jamar has done, it's like it's amazing.
Yeah,
like,
it's
amazing.
It's one or two best rookie seasons.
I think it's the closest to Moss. This is rookie year.
The way he did it.
And no disrespect to Anquan Boldin.
Yeah.
But your rookie year ain't no Randy Moss rookie year. I don't care how many catches you had.
And
no disrespect to Jalen Waddle. Like, you had a lot of catches this year.
That's a great tight end.
But it's
rookie.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Peter Warwick.
Awesome.
Like, you know what I'm saying? But to me, it's like the way that Moss did it and the way that Jamar did it,
with my grown-ass eyes.
The
defensive coordinator has to be thinking about every single play and trying to make sure you don't burn them for a huge game.
Yeah, but I think that he took that. Yeah. I think the 266 was like just was a bow on it. He put a bow
cherry
on it. Cherry on
a cherry
top.
He put
like,
a cherry on a bow.
Yeah,
on,
yeah.
A, on whipped cream on a Sunday.
That's nasty as hell. Now, all right, Joe. Now, defensive rookie of the year.
Yeah,
again, it's just like Jamar. Michael Parsons,
The
man's a monster.
If it wasn't for T.J. Watt, could be in the conversation for defense player.
Along him and Myles Garrett, I think those guys would also be in the convo. But just whenever you break, whenever you break sack records, yeah. Even with the extra game, it's still impressive.
Are you a guy who likes to poo-poo on straight hand sack records? Is that a big deal to you?
No. I'm like, once you hit 20 sacks, yeah, man, you a monster. Care. I don't care.
I'm like, everybody's got a BS sack in their 20 sack season. I'm
what,
like,
you talking about like the far?
Yeah, people give them a hard time. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, go back to anybody's 20 sack season. They got some BS sack in there.
They all got some lame sack. Yeah. It's like you got some coverage sacks where you didn't even really tackle the dude. It's like you just stopped him and then they blew the whistle. I was like, I didn't get to hit
that guy.
That
guy blocked you.
That don't feel like a sack
to
me.
So these guys have sacks where that guy blocked you for six whole seconds.
That's like one of those games like you have, like if you're girl, like, you know, and then it's like, oh, you had a sack today. I'm like, no, I didn't. I'm like, oh, that one cast.
Like, I got manhandled.
I wrapped him up.
I got manhandled for 5 seconds, and then I stumbled upon the quarterback.
But yeah, but Micah Parsons, definitely rookie of the year. Looking forward to see what he does, like, as a Cowboy moving, like, you know, we got just the versatility, and you know, with me, we'll talk draft a little bit later. But I would love for them to make sure that they address the middle linebacker situation, because I don't need y'all messing with him in there. Like, you know, it's nice to use him in there, but to me, like say
weapon.
For example, against Arizona, to try and use him as a spy against Kyler, then you lose him on the edge. And I don't like that. Get somebody else who can do that inside linebacker stuff. Like, you know, get another fast guy. All right, now let's see. Offensive player of the year.
I'm going to go with Cooper Kupp just because he hit the trifecta with receiving in terms of catches, yards, and touchdowns.
Bad man.
Yeah, bad man. If he had two out of the three, I could argue, but he got all three of them. That's what it needs to be applauded in some way.
Man. It's just he's finally – and, you know, he's been there. But this is like now Mr. Breakthrough. And don't say it's because Robert Woods got hurt. He was already on pace before Woods got hurt. But it's just crazy that it's almost like they were 1A, 1B. It's like, trajectory of greatness now. It's like, and you're 30. You know, it's like, and it's just – the man's a monster, bro. He's unstoppable.
And do you think this is more of him just breaking out or him having a natural connection with Stafford?
A little column A, column B. I just think that he's very consistent. Like, I've had him on my fantasy teams for quite some time, and he never misses any games. He's always there. He's dependable. And I just think that, I don't know, maybe he's the guy who was putting in work with Stafford as soon as Stafford got over there. And, you know, but yeah, it's been impressive. Very impressive. One of the most impressive receiving seasons.
And he does do a lot of his damage in the slot, but he's a guy that can go on the outside.
Yeah, coming into the league, you thought that he didn't have that straight line speed. So how versatile could he
be? Well, I'm all the guy who thinks everybody can get faster. I'm like, it's the same for me as a track athlete. No track and field athlete is as fast as they're ever going to be at 21, 22 years old. It's the same for football.
But I'm pretty sure, like, if you really look at him, I'm pretty sure that he's built and he runs like Jerry Rice. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, honestly, right? They're probably the same frame, probably same 40 time, like, same type of athlete. So if you really want to not be, like, if you really want to keep it real, he's comparable to Jerry Rice as far as just all of those attributes that he had. Jerry Rice award winner, one of the greatest FCS receivers of all time, Jerry Rice. You know what I'm saying? Like, the only difference is Jerry Rice went in the first. It's like, because nobody really cared about 40 times back then. Everybody just cared about how you ball.
Because you couldn't believe in him back then.
It's like
I really like the comparison because of the same type of speed. Even though he doesn't run a 4.4, he can still burn off. That's what I said. As he's gotten deeper into his career, he's shown kind of more big play threat ability.
Because he's not the athlete that Adam Thielen is. You know what I'm saying? Adam Thielen is fast. And he got burns and he'll take off on you. But he's that smooth route runner. He's going to shake you out your shoes, and you can line him up as he's an X, Y, Z, everywhere. You know, everything but the jet sweep. But the man's a beast, and I definitely think that even though I'm a big Jonathan Taylor fan, it's like if y'all won that game and you went for like 200-something yards,
maybe.
But okay. Cooper Kupp.
Go on to defensive player of the year
All right, I think it's unanimous.
You break the sack record, you win
sack record
it. Like,
yours.
No matter how the season is going.
I don't care if those are the only tackles you have.
I don't care if you had, 13 sacks going into the last game, 10 sacks the last game. Defensive player of the year now. If you break the record, you get defensive player of the year.
So, T.J. Watt, you know, another defensive player of the year in the Watt family.
And this was, so J.J. Watt has 2 20 sack seasons, the only player ever. T.J. Watt now has the sack record. Is this the best football family of all time? Best NFL family of all time?
Absolutely.
Most talented.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
J.J. Watt, T.J. Watt, yes. Your story needs to be told.
It's like from J.J. Watt being, what, a Central Michigan tight end who they told to play left tackle, be the next Joe Staley, so he ran away. He's like, didn't he go deliver pizzas and transfer to Wisconsin?
Yeah, when he went to Wisconsin as a walk-on and was paying his own way, delivering pizzas, all that stuff. Yeah.
You know, and T.J., let's just be real, the man didn't play any football until the 1 year he balled out at Wisconsin. The guy was always hurt. And, you know, and everybody's like, it's so easy to draft T.J. Watt now. But if y'all don't – anybody who knows, the man was always hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
He was hurt. If his last name wasn't Watt, he wouldn't have been in the conversation because we would just talk about his durability and his medical record and all that stuff. But the toughness and being a Watt is why people just believed in him. Yeah. It's like, but the medical reports could show you that this man – and then also what? Wasn't he like a quarterback in high school? Okay. Or like I know he wasn't like a pass
played a
rusher.
Bunch of different.
He was like a safety.
Like
and a
he even played like tight end at Wisconsin. He's at some points he played tight end on offense at Wisconsin.
Yeah.
It's like he didn't settle into a defensive end line.
He had 1 year of film.
Yeah, yeah.
It was.
But
great.
He was the best defensive player in the Big Ten that year. Yes.
But Lamar would have done that too.
But we knew he was better than Taco Charlton, right?
Hey man. I hate Taco Charlton.
I don't think Taco Charlton's gonna be a Hall of Famer. I don't know. I don't think it's there.
I didn't like Taco at Michigan.
No, I like guys who play well and run fast. I need a combination.
I don't like that you're the guy. Because here's the thing. I remember Taco had like a 2.5 sack game, and to me it didn't count because I'm like, I watched it. It was in the snow.
Everybody was slow.
Everybody's slow. I remember that game. I'm like, why y'all going to blow this man up talking about these stats? There's real stats and there's fake stats. These are fake ass stats.
Yeah.
And I was like, that man had a 2 sack game in the snow. It was like a
2
foot
sack
of snow.
Game. Fake news.
All right, Joe. MVP. I guess your boy is Rodgers. I guess that touchdown interception ratio gonna get
it's
it
real.
Done.
Boy's special. Nobody does what he does in this thing. His off years look like your career years.
Damn. Here's my thing. Yeah. Brady too old to do what he did. Not give him my vote.
Oh really? Okay.
He's because to me it's like. What, the 40 plus touchdowns? He leads the league in yardage? What, yardage, touchdowns?
And I'm a guy who doesn't care about overall yards. I've never cared about overall
yards. Well, here's
yards.
My thing. Yeah. Mike Evans being in and out of the lineup, Chris Godwin being hurt, Antonio Brown being Antonio Brown, Gronk not being in the lineup on a consistent basis, and for him to still be able to do that with all those things going on, like it's like he is the value.
Yeah.
There's nobody more valuable than Tom Brady because what was the Tampa Bay franchise? It's partially lifetime achievement, but to me, you can't lead the league in all these things and me not give you my vote, Tom Brady. I'm sorry.
So, first and foremost,
because Roger, you're a bad man. You're a bad man. We know you're going to have the best touchdown interception ratio always.
That's what you do.
That's what you do. But this old man is 44 years old and threw 43 touchdowns. Mm. Now, it's like, you didn't throw 44. You got to match your age, dog. No vote for me, dog. Nah, man. It's like, but to me, it's like, nah, you did too much. He did too much. And you know, I'm not that guy to give lifetime achievement awards and all that type of stuff. But give that man that award. That man old as hell. He's too close to being the best to not just call him the best. You know what I'm saying?
And to me, it's about the record.
And he don't got enough MVPs for as great as he is.
Okay.
And that's another thing. He don't got enough MVPs.
Belichick don't got enough Coach of the Years. I was checking today. 3 of them. He only has 3. Belichick. He only has 3 Coach of the Year awards.
But what? Tom Brady has 1 MVP?
Maybe two. I think two, maybe.
All right, two.
2007.
Two.
He's got at least two.
Because he's got the touchdown.
2007.
Him and Randy Moss going off.
And then some year.
And then the year whenever your boy Carson Wentz got robbed, right? Didn't he get the league MVP that year?
Oh, now one does he have 3?
He's got 3.
Yeah.
Actually, he does have three.
You reminded me of that one. That's not the one I was thinking.
2002. Yeah, give him another one. He's the GOAT, man. He's the GOAT. Let's give it to him.
He has 3, and I think Rodgers has 3 also. Yeah. Well, okay, so to me, Green Bay has a better record. They're the number 1 seed. They're getting a bye week. Like I said, if the records were the same, I'm all open to hearing your argument if Tampa Bay had won just as many games as Green Bay. But one more games is a better team. Either of them, if they lost their quarterback, they would be shitty teams. So I'm giving it to Aaron Rodgers. Yeah.
Well, I'm not. You're not changing my vote. Okay. It's like the man too. Oh,
I just wanted this.
Whatever. It was Drew Henson doing all this, Joe. You'd be like, yeah. I knew Drew Henson was gonna do this whole
super,
line.
Super impressive. Tom Brady. When is he gonna stop? Like, it doesn't look like the end is coming anytime soon. I think he's still the least sacked quarterback as far as percentage of dropbacks in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And if you're still that, why would you stop playing?
All right, Joe, snap. Do we need to jump to – let's go through the games to watch this weekend, the game you're looking most forward to.
Dallas,
sure,
baby.
Dallas, San Fran. Of course, Sunday we're going to see that. Yeah. Arizona.
And Los Angeles
and L.A.
Rams.
Monday Night Football, Monday Night Playoff Football.
That's probably going to be the best game.
It's going to be crunk.
That's probably going to be the best
game. And to me, it's like I want to see L.A. fall. The battle of it's like, because guess what? Matt Stafford, you were supposed to be the greatest to ever come out this state. That man Kyler is the greatest to ever come out this state. He's the truth, man. And I want to see Kyler with the bright lights clown in L.A. You know what I'm saying? Let Mighty Mouse do his thing.
So if the – let me see. If the Cowboys get through, are they going to play the winner of that game? That's going to be
Don't get me one. Don't get me one.
We'll tackle that next week.
We'll tackle that next week. We'll get there, Joe. Now, as far as all these first-year quarterbacks making their first career playoff starts, who is the person you have the most faith in as far as all these guys?
Maybe Kyler, because I don't think he's the liability on that team at all. He's the – even
– the lights have always been bright for Kyler.
Kyler might be kind of made for the playoffs. We saw what he did to Dallas. I'm like, what team is going to stop what Kyler did?
He ain't never lost over there.
I'm like, but just being able to run the clock out like that, that's a valuable asset. I think he does that better than Lamar.
Somebody was talking about it's like the problem with Kyler is Kyler will just run for 11 and just run out of bounds. And he'll stop the clock that way. Yeah. Or – if they're up, he'll just run and slide.
He's a clock killer.
There's so many things that he does that don't even go into the stat book, like to where it's like he's just like.
Even Lamar can't do that at the level of Kyler.
I don't think Lamar don't think like Kyler. Kyler. Kyler's had a lot of pressure on him for a long time, and he was, his dad's a quarterback coach. He was born to do this.
But Kyler scares me. If I'm on the other side of that ball, Kyler scares me at the end of the game.
I think Kyler's the guy I'm going to roll with and have the most faith in, and honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if this man could go to the Super Bowl because he's Kyler Murray. He's Kyler Murray, man. It's like nothing he will do on a football field will ever shock me, bro. It's like ever since we went to go – were you with me whenever he was playing against Denton Ryan or Denton Geyer? Gerard Hurd was the other quarterback?
I know I've seen him play.
I couldn't see the quarterback. I just saw these darts just start flying just coming behind these linemen's ears like and then they cross a 50-yard line. I'm like, this dude is little as hell. And I've been a believer ever since. So Kyler, that's who I want. That's who I'd roll with as far as all these first guys with their first career playoff starts. All right, college football, Joe.
Yes, ma'am.
We're gonna talk that championship real quick.
Yeah, let's go for it.
All right. Now as far as the championship goes, Georgia.
They did it. Yeah.
You know me, I said I can't bet against Georgia.
Okay.
You know, it's like, but I didn't believe they would beat them.
Yeah.
But hats off to Georgia, but real talk, man, with Mechie going out and the last time we played y'all, and then Jameson Williams going out, y'all put some type of voodoo curse, some type of juju going on.
I don't know what y'all did, but there's something going on. Yeah.
Because to me, if Jameson Williams didn't get hurt, they wouldn't have won. I just think you could tell early on. Yeah.
Are you saying because Bryce Young did throw two interceptions, was this kind of an atypical performance for him? You think if he had his number one receivers, he wouldn't have been forced to make those?
Cameron Leto had 100 yards. That just lets you know what happened. Cameron Leto had 100 yards. And Slade Bolden, he's a slot receiver. He can't really help you on the outside.
Ja'Cory Brooks is a young dude.
And JoJo Earl looks like he's just a special teamer for right now. Yeah. So it's like, just by me naming these guys.
Honestly, that's what Slade Bolden showed me in this game is that he's just a slot receiver. Yeah. Because normally, the last few years, that guy that's been playing in the slot, whenever somebody else goes down, can step out, go to the outside, and be the number one playmaker.
Yeah.
It had to be the younger
and
freshman.
Like,
to
and
step
it was
up.
Really going to have to take Slade Bolden having like 100-yard type of receiving game for them to do it, and I don't think it happened. Mm-hmm. So it's like, but hats off to them Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah, man.
Most impressed. All right. Yeah. All right. They named Bennett and Lewis Klein MVPs. I didn't see why
Klein, Klein got it.
Except for he's from Cedar Hill or whatever. Yeah. Texas represent.
Yeah, I didn't
to me,
get it.
Who was your defensive player of the game? For them.
For Georgia. Maybe I'll just give it to Keely Ringo just for the game sealing interception. And also,
did Keely Ringo just make himself a lock for the top three?
He's not draft eligible just yet, yeah, but now
he just made it. It's like he just put himself on the map.
Yeah, on the map.
It's like, because wasn't he originally supposed to go to UT?
Five star guy. He's a guy who's
going to him and Bijan were both supposed to go to UT,
okay,
right?
Yeah. The both Arizona like, boys. Yeah.
I'm sure they're not from the same school, but I just think that pick, I was just like, dang, Keely Ringo, big.
Big and fast.
I'm like, dang, is this Patrick Peterson Jr.? Yeah. Like,
you know, he's got legit 100 meter speed.
Oh, yeah. Keely Ringo, like to me, he's the guy, but to me, not just this game, but against Michigan, that boy George Pick is going to get in that first round.
You think so?
He's going to or die trying, man. Did you see what he did, the pancake block last week when he just threw the Michigan corner on the ground? Yeah. That's a hit. Oh, get off me.
Pickens, I love Pickens, and even I love his game speed.
Yeah.
I just hear about
and
his time
catch,
speed.
That catch set it off. You know what I'm saying? Him being able to come up with that 52-yard catch, to me.
Open up the offense
for him. Nobody else, once he made a play, then everybody else started making plays. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And this man, then they slow played him. It's like to where he just played the last four games of the season to where this season don't even count if you don't want it to. Yeah. But I think Pickens, he's gone. All right, don't you think?
Like I said, I love
if
Pickens.
If Bennett comes back, he ain't enough to keep me.
Bennett should come back, right?
6 year?
Yeah.
But he said he'll be playing football next year. I'm like, well, then you better be sticking at Georgia because he ain't playing
football. He's not an NFL guy.
If you play one more year, who knows? Get you some bolt.
So Aaron Murray didn't stick around the NFL. You said,
"Hey man, Aaron Murray's been on Stetson Bennett's jock all year, saying this man needs to be the Heisman Trophy winner. He's the greatest quarterback and this greatest season Georgia quarterback."
What's with this JT Daniels always losing to guys who are less talented than him? Always losing his job to guys who have less physical ability.
That whack ass facial hair, man. Nobody trusts him. Nobody trusts him around their barber. Nobody trusts this.
You can't leave my team, with that crusty mustache over here.
All right, Joe. Now, who made the most money on Monday night? That's the real thing.
Christian Harris, man. Yeah. I think so.
Christian Harris balled.
Especially coming up, Michael Parsons being the defensive rookie of the year, wanting somebody with that kind of level of athleticism and close to it.
It's like a guy who has experience playing corner, running back. Now I would like to see what he runs because I've heard that he's a 4.6, 4.7 guy. But that's coming out of high school. Who knows? I could run a 4.4 for all we know.
Yeah.
But he's the guy I was most impressed with. He's the guy where I was like, between him and Jordan Davis, I want Jordan Davis because they know where the Jordan Davis is. But if I can't get Jordan Davis, then I'm
trying
Christian
to build
Harris.
A sideshow. My roster should look like a sideshow over here. Yeah.
But if you're going to draft a big, a humongous dude, make sure he's athletic, all right? Yeah. We'll work with it. And Jordan Davis is. But I would say that the guy who made the most money is definitely Christian Harris.
Yeah. Impressive performance. Right. 3 sacks, I think he finished with.
Yeah, three sacks, 5 tackles, 4 fumbles. And, that first half, man, it looked like he was going to be player of the game. It looked like once Pickens made that catch and then Mitchell makes the touchdown grab, those were two great catches, two great athletic plays. Yeah. And really – even the James Cook, gone. All right, we're going to beat these guys.
Hey, Cook made some money, too.
Hey, Cook made some money, too. Yeah. To me, he's like, guess what? And my brother in the league. Guess what? I'm going to just get drafted off my name in that run. And my school. What's up? I'm a Georgia running back, and I'm Dalvin Cook's little brother. And I possibly am the one who broke that game open the other day.
Yeah.
I have a 100-yard receiving game on my record, a 100-yard rushing game. So I am the third-down back, worst-case scenario.
Exactly. And I think Georgia this year decided to take full advantage of his skill set.
Yeah.
I think some games where they just basically featured him. And Zamir White had a good game. I think Zamir White made some money, the Georgia running back. But there are some games where they just decided to feature Cook. Yeah.
And you know me, I've always been a Cook fan, and I still think that that ain't no 4.3. Everybody talk about fast yet. It's that's legit 4.4 though.
He's got a good stride. He looks like he has a track back.
That
deceives me because I see a guy running with great technique. Sometimes that means it's because he's so slow. He knows he has to run with perfect technique to run a fast 40 type of thing.
Do you think somebody like a James Cook is gonna get drafted just by his name over say a Rashad White from Arizona State or say like a what is it? The Kyren Williams from Notre Dame.
Okay, like I'm a biased. I'm a huge Rashad White fan.
Okay,
so,
but, I'm a Rashad
yeah,
White
yeah, fan. But that's 40-yard dash.
Because like, no, yeah. Rashad White is an all-purpose back.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Y'all some third-down backs. Yeah, y'all cute. Y'all yeah. cute. But this
no,
is...
but like if Cook ran a similar 40 time to Rashad White or a faster 40 time than Rashad White, then yeah, I could definitely see some.
I want to say what Cook? He's not 200 though, is he?
I don't think so. No.
And White's definitely like 210 or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, yeah. And
but he's kind of tall.
Tall. I think like coming out of high, like his yeah, he's really bulked up since high school. I think he was like 4.5 flat coming out of high school, but I think he's faster now.
Yeah, I've heard that he's supposed to be a 4.45
okay,
guy.
Yeah.
All right. Now, all right, Joe. Now, the Lions.
Yeah.
The Jaguars.
Yeah.
They got them top two spots locked up. Mm. Now, outside of Aiden Hutchinson and Kayvon Thibodeau, yeah. who do you think is the best bet to be the number one pick?
Me.
Like, now, we're talking about yeah. the Lions and the Jaguars with their picks.
Okay,
and like
yeah.
you said before, yeah. you like what Jared Goff's done, so there's no way they're picking a quarterback.
Yeah, yeah.
So without trades,
yeah.
who you
no,
think?
So I like to me it's hard to say. I don't think there's a quarterback that's worthy picking this high, and I don't think those teams necessarily are looking for a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I think Derek Stingley Jr. is the best non-quarterback in this draft. I understand since his true freshman year, where he was hands down the best cornerback in the nation, mm-hmm. he's had injuries, he hasn't played the same. But to me, like. I'd rather have that player than any of these elite pass rushers that you have. I'd rather mm-hmm. have that guy on my roster and try to develop him, yeah.
And you know me, I like Ajabo. I really like David Ajabo
yeah,
just
other
because I think his raw athleticism.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like because you've seen guys who were less developed with less athleticism
yeah.
Get like
– Well, because his production
people
is –
people have reached on. And yeah. you could argue that – Aiden Hutchinson's production is a direct result of having somebody this good on the opposite side of him.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and you know, and to me, he's so much better than Josh Uche and Kwity Paye.
Right.
Like, you know, and so you can still say, oh, inexperienced, athletic.
Yeah.
Like,
just
you know
more
say?
Productive.
Yeah.
So Ajabo, elite athleticism and build, mm-hmm. elite production, mm-hmm. but we know he's still getting better. He's still
yeah.
ascending as a player.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
So, I would say Ajabo, and yeah. then I also think that your boy.
Like, if you had one of these top two picks, is there any chance that you'd be happy leaving here with Hutchinson over Ajabo?
No.
No.
I want Ajabo.
You're maneuvering to
In
try
my
to
brain,
get Ajabo.
I want yeah. Ajabo over.
Yeah,
Thibodeau.
I feel like that's where you're going. Yeah.
It's like, and
he's the best pass rusher.
And you can see it
yeah,
coming
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
It's like, yeah, because may the fastest man win, yeah. right? If he comes
and even
out here,
I love the attitude. They
yeah.
say the reason he kind of emerged is because he knew Aiden Hutchinson was the harder worker on the team. I'm going to be everywhere this guy's at.
And that's why
I'm,
I
yeah.
like him because
yeah, yeah.
he's like, he
I'm
played basketball
yeah.
and he's a year under Jason Awai.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm faster than him.
Yeah.
I'm stronger than him.
Yeah.
How many scholarship offers you got? All right, I'm going to get more.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, and then it's
yeah.
like Aiden Hutchinson. It's like, you know, the way it's like,
yeah.
it's like he just knows who to like,
to shadow,
to
yeah,
shadow,
even to role, to model himself after.
Yeah,
yeah,
and to me, that's
he's picking good role
and not,
models.
Not everybody
yeah.
does that.
Yeah.
No, not everybody just naturally does that. But for that to just be your attitude,
yeah.
I really like that.
And you know, some people aren't like that.
They're not.
People
they're
are
like,
too
I'll do it my
do
way.
Yeah.
And my way is the best way because I wouldn't be
Stop
here.
It. I know you're mimicking. I think.
No, no I'm not talking about you.
No, not me.
No. Okay. Now I do think DeMarvin Zeal though.
Yeah.
I just think that his pass rush ability, his size, his speed. I think if he ends up being 300 pounds, runs a sub 540, I just think with his.
What's the ideal team fit for him in a defensive scheme?
I like him as a 3-4
okay.
edge, where I like him as a one gap DT. I think he's versatile enough to where I'd like him in either one of those spots.
Mm.
So to me, it's like.
You'll find
it,
a place
it doesn't
for
matter
him.
What
yeah,
scheme
I'll,
I run.
Yeah.
Now, some people would be like, oh, you're wasting him if you have him in a 3-man front, but I'm like, that's what they said.
That's not today football.
Yeah,
not
it's like
football.
J.J. Watt, man.
Yeah,
J.J.
Yeah,
Watt.
Yeah,
J.J.
Yeah.
Watt had 20 sacks as a 3-4 defensive end.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, the man can do it.
Mm.
So I would say that he's another guy who can sleep. But I just think
yeah.
it's defense.
Well, even to me, now I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
Like I need to see what Aiden Hutchinson runs. Like I said, I'm still.
They're saying he's at a 4.65.
4.65. Okay.
Before, and,
because
he was on the freak list,
yeah.
the Bruce Feldman freak list, and they
yeah.
had a 4.65.
To me, as far as like top tier number one overall pass rushers, I don't love Aiden Hutchinson or Kevin Thibodeau as the number one overall.
But
pick.
At the same time,
yeah.
though, I do like Aiden Hutchinson to where I compare him to a Jared Allen.
Yeah, yeah.
like,
oh yeah, that's like shit. That's like floor for him,
yeah,
kind of.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I see that. I see that.
Yeah.
But I like DeMarvin Leal in the sense I think he's more of a freak than those guys. I think
yeah.
the ceiling is a little bit higher.
So,
than
so you
yeah.
could even be so here. So let's just say it now.
Yeah.
Ajabo, Leal. Those guys are going to go over to
the
If you heard it here first,
if we
kids.
Know anything about the NFL draft, then yes, Leal and Ojabo will go higher than Hutchinson and Thibodeau.
May the fastest
man win. Well, you know what? Caveat. Thibodeau, I'm not going to say it's like a white defensive lineman that runs really fast will go higher than those guys, I think.
Well, here's the thing, though. I know that even though they say that Thibodeau ran a 4.67, that's out of high school before senior year. Versus Hutchinson running a 4.65 last summer.
Yeah.
So it's like, so the thing is, Thibodeau, like, if he ends up running, he can end up running 4.4.
Yeah.
And then if he's back, he's a top man again.
And he's the guy.
Like
again.
Said.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah. That's what I love about the draft. When it comes down to 40
combine
times,
combine is coming up. Yes. Can't wait till that Senior Bowl show,
for sure,
huh?
For sure.
All right, Joe. I think that's all the time we got,
that's
Playboy.
All the time we got, man.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man. Thank you for tuning in, guys. We always appreciate that, man. And, you know, you can catch us here every Wednesday night and catch us next week. You want to get any message you want to deliver?
Yeah, man. You know, if y'all want to give us a listen, check us out on iTunes, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are heard.
All them outlets, man. All right, thank you for tuning in, guys. You can catch us next week. Same giraffe time. Same giraffe channel.
Karatata!
We are out of here, man.
Peace.
Hey, this is Jordan.
And this is Job. You can catch our show, The Giraffe Experts, every Wednesday from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m.
On our show, you'll be able to hear about sports and entertainment.
It's a sports show, but you can't really just call it that.
So log on every Wednesday. We'll be in Studio A.
Hey, come check us out. I promise this will be your new favorite show because we are The Giraffe Experts.
Long!
Jump in.
Hey there, Fishbowl listeners. It's motivational speaker and life coach, Doree Spencer-Shackleford from Doree Speaks Life. Join me Saturday, February the 12th at the Ballroom Surge in Dallas, Texas for the Women with Purpose Tour. The Women with Purpose Tour is about empowering women one day at a time. Again, that's the Women with Purpose Tour Saturday, February the 12th from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the Ballroom Surge in Dallas, Texas. For more information, follow us on Facebook at the Women with Purpose Tour.
Attention, Kiko is hiring. You heard right, Kiko is hiring. Kiko is looking for you to fill the following positions: seamstress, machine operators, forklift drivers, loaders, packers, and baggers.